Our God is good. We looked at that last week. And the subtitle today is, In His Presence is Fullness of Joy. He's a good God, and it's fun to be in His presence. Our God is good, and everything He does is good, as we saw last week. I can pray through and get into the presence of God every day, and that's my goal. And I can say I accomplished that, at least most of the time. But there's also a special anointing and a special presence of God in a service like this. And we miss out when we're not in it. Now, you can be in it by live stream, but I'd encourage, if at all possible, as often as possible, be in the house. Because there is a tremendous anointing, especially in this place. We are commanded not to be depressed. Did you know that? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Because we have a good, trustworthy God. Because we have a good, trustworthy God, we can live our lives rejoicing. That's why the word says rejoice, and I say again, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Life can be fun when you learn to rejoice no matter what problems you have or what opportunities you have. The Word of God says, be not grieved and depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength, or is your strength. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Some translations translates this, be not sorry or grieved, but the Amplified Bible correctly says, be not grieved and depressed. You see, depression produces weakness, but joy produces strength. If you're going around depressed and sad and just all burnt out, I mean, it's going to cause you to fail in certain areas. And you've got to get back to that joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and the place to get it is God Himself. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy. The whole world has been going through a very urgent, sorrowful, depressing time because of COVID and because of the condition of the world. Discouragement, depression, sorrow, and fear can be deadly to your health and well-being. Ask the doctor. And when a doctor is treating someone, they'll tell you if they have hope and faith and confidence are going to get well, they have a much better chance of getting well. The remedy can be an encouraging word from the Word of God. That's one reason I preach. Most of the message I preach is to give you a good word from God. But it's always with a condition. Like Mike was saying, you got to do the word. The church must create hope, optimism, and faith. And that's what we certainly try to do. We have a choice. Be not grieved and depressed, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We all got a choice to make. Am I going to allow this depression and oppression and fear and doubt and strife and anger and worry stay on me, or am I going to get it off and start rejoicing and praising God for the good things I have? It's a choice. I know depression can be some kind of chemical imbalance, but I got a God that can heal that too. You see, we must protect ourselves from the virus of depression. In Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. Read that with me. In Thy presence, are y'all still out there? Okay, read it. In Thy presence is the fullness of joy. Read it. In Thy presence is the fullness of joy. Again, in Thy presence is the fullness of joy. That's why we have such a spirit of joy and peace when we come in this room. And the praise team comes out anointed by the Holy Spirit. Wasn't the praise and worship really anointed today? It brings joy. It enables me to preach. Well, when that joy comes down, yay. Makes it better. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Where do people get this thing? If you're going to serve God, you're going to be depressed and down your whole life. My Bible doesn't say anything like that. I think some people need to get another Bible. And that's not in my Bible. All that depression and oppression and, oh, I'm just a suffering through. I got all this sorrow. Well, I've had sorrow too, but God turns it to joy. And a lot of times we're not having joy because we're not doing what we're told to do. We're not being a doer of the word. We're not praying. And we're not reading the Bible. A lot of times we are our own worst enemy because we somehow feel like we can be blessed and not pray and not fast and not read the Bible and not go to church. We just somehow think we got saved and now we're just going to cruise straight into heaven. Well, you're going to have to do the Word of God if you're going to cruise with blessing and favor. Psalm 16, verse 11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." I'm talking to you about our God is good. Can you say, praise the Lord? You see, if we want the fullness of joy, we need to spend more time in his presence. The church has a major role to play in giving people faith, hope, and optimism. Jesus gave all of us reasons to always be hopeful, optimistic, and encouraged, like Matthew 10:29. "Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father?" We read the Bible, we just don't believe it. This says that I'm more important than a bird to God. People think animals and birds and humans are all the same. No, they're not. And God breathed into us, and we have a living spirit within us that can communicate with God. Animals do not have that. If God notices when a bird falls, he surely knows when we have a problem. I need to go to him with my problems, but he knows about them before I get there. Verse 30, he says, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear, for you are more valuable than many sparrows." Jesus said, do not fear, because we are of greater value than many birds. God even knows how many hairs we have or used to have. Last week we read, need to read again, Matthew 6:31. "Do not worry then." Wonder what that means, do not worry. We need to get into the Greek and find out what that means. Do not worry. We already know what that means. Do not worry about things, trust God. Yeah. "Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat?" Don't worry about your food. And we're living in a day right now that people are really having it rough. We're passing out food right here on Cedar Bluff because people around here, believe it or not, don't have enough food to eat. We're living in difficult times. But we need to know if we'll serve God, God is somehow going to put food on the table. I mean, the Israelites were on a mission and they didn't have any food, and God rained down manna from heaven and fed them with manna. And then they wanted meat, so quail flew into the camp and volunteered to be eaten. God provided everything they need. They ran out of water, and God brought water out of a rock. What problem do you have that a good God can't fix? We just need to believe in him more than we believe in the devil's ability to destroy us. Either we believe in God's power or the devil's power. I choose to believe in God's power. I have authority over that rascal. Matthew 6:31, "Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing?" Verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." See, when you really start putting the kingdom first, and God tells you to give $2,000, if the kingdom's first, you're going to give $2,000. Amen. When you put the kingdom first and do what he tells you to do, you cannot buy the blessings of God, but when you obey him, blessings will come. You can never give to get. You give because you love God and you're obeying God, and you let God worry about the getting part. That's what Dottie and I have done, and we've been blessed more than ever dreamed, really blessed more than ever wanted to be. The blessings of God is making up my image of being poor and humble. So all I got left now is humble. How many glad you got a humble pastor? Anybody that believes they're humble is prideful. Anyway, just thought I'd throw that in there. But humility is not what a lot of people think it is anyway. Here's humility. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. It's okay to believe you can as long as you believe you can with God's help. If you go around saying, I can do all things, that's pride and arrogance, and you're going to get in trouble. But when you say, I can do all things through Christ that enables me and strengthens me, that is humility, and God will back you up. You see, we can worry, or we can put his kingdom first and trust him to add all these things to us. 1 Timothy 6:17, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches. No matter how much money you have, you cannot put your faith in that money because it can evaporate in a minute. But put your hope, it says, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. He's talking about rich people for a minute, and then he says, who richly supplies us, all of us, supplies all of us who are being a doer of the word and obeying him, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. That's the good God you serve. If you serve God, you're going to live on the wrong side of the tracks and be in poverty all your life. If you become a preacher and pastor of a church, you're never going to have anything. That's the way I was brought up. That's what I was taught. That's what I heard people saying, but it turned out not to be right. When I started obeying God, he started blessing me. And I've never just been seeking blessing. I've just seek the kingdom and do what he tells me to do. And he takes care of the blessing. But if you're not willing to do what he tells you to do, forget it. You got to do what he tells you to do. And it can't be somebody telling you. It's got to be God. My sheep know my voice. You see, this says we are to fix our hope on God because he richly supplies us all things to enjoy. I believe that. And I live that. I practice that. And then I try to bless other people and give. Try to be the biggest giver in the church. And as I just stretch ourselves financially, God just takes care of us. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. How many know heaven is not going bankrupt anytime soon? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God supplies all our need according to his riches. Instead of worrying, we must rejoice because we have been given these beautiful promises. Therefore, do not be depressed. Focus on these promises. Well, preacher, how do I stop worrying? How do I stop being depressed? Focus on these promises. Memorize them and quote them. You see, God has plans to prosper his people and give all of us victory. Look at this, Jeremiah 29:11. I know you may have heard other preaching and you may have heard grandma and grandpa telling you all kind of things, but let me tell you something. I'm not going by anything except what's in this book, the Bible. I've learned the hard way. It's the only thing that works is the Word of God. Without some preacher explaining it away. Yeah, but that means, well, it means this, it means that. It means what it says. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Hello. How many needed that one? You might want to memorize that one. For I know the plans there for you and your kids. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. For our kids seem to be going down the wrong path. We stand on the promises. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You see, we're co-laborers with God. Whatever you're doing, you should be doing it as a co-laborer with God. If it's cross space ninja, whatever it is, you know, if it's a doctor, lawyer, ditch digger, engineer, whatever it is you do, make God your co-worker. Work together. Let him lead you and guide you and direct you, and you'll be successful as long as you obey. We are co-laborers with God, and God has a plan for our lives. He has a plan to prosper us and to give us a bright future. He has a bright future for you. He has a promised land for you. But Mike's right. You got to go in and take it, and you got to have faith to do that. You see, he says, I will do nothing to harm you. Did you catch that? Well, God puts all these bad things on people to teach them something. Let me read that again. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. I don't have any plans to harm you. Amen. I thought by now y'all be jumping up and hollering and praising God, sitting there just staring straight ahead like you're half asleep. I'm kidding. I don't want you jumping up and hollering because I got to get through this. We are co-laborers with God, and God has a plan for our lives. Can you believe that? Do you believe that you're born with a purpose? That's why abortion is such a horrible thing, because God has a plan for every person, and no one has a right to terminate that plan. Jesus said, according to your faith. That means you got to believe these scriptures. You can't go out here and say, well, I don't know what that means. I know what it means, because I've been living it for nearly 100 years. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. When you serve him, he can give you wisdom and knowledge that will make you look smart. You don't have to be smart when you got God telling you what to do. You see, he holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. If Jesus lives in us, we're blameless. We're washed in his blood. We're new creations in Christ. If we mess up, we confess it as sin, ask him to forgive us. You see, he is our shield, and he holds victory in store. Look at that. He holds victory in store for the upright. He holds victory in store for every one of you who are obeying him. I didn't make that up. Well, that's not what Grandpa said. I don't care what Grandpa said. I love my grandpa. And, of course, I don't know what he would have said about that. But I know what the Bible says. Verse 8, for he guards the course of the just. It guards your way to keep you from running in the ditch. And if you do run in the ditch, dash your foot against a stone. He's got angels there to bear you up. I've proven that a few times. Okay. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. He will guard and protect the way of the just because he is a faithful God, good God. Isaiah 54, verse 14, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Verse 15, behold, they shall surely gather together. But not by me. He says there's going to be people come against you and oppose you, but I didn't send them. I didn't organize them. I'm against them. And for you, whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. In other words, anyone who comes against you, if you're in my plan, anyone who comes against you, they're going to fall for your sake so that you'll be protected. There's a lot of people today hating Christians. They better look out, because they're going to wind up in the ditch themselves. And they're not going to be able to get out unless they repent. Our enemies need to be worried about us, because our God fights for us. I'm not worried about me. People that might, I don't know of anybody, but anybody that might have any kind of grudge against me, they need to be worried about my God. Not me worried about them. First, I know everybody likes me. I don't know why they wouldn't. I'm such a wonderful person. Don't ask God to confirm that. Verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee. Whoa, that can't be right. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. That is right. That's what he says. No weapon formed against Barry Coverson shall prosper because he's such a wonderful guy. No, because he's a born-again believer. You don't have to be totally wonderful. There's very few of us that's totally wonderful. God blesses us anyway. People say, well, I want what I deserve. I don't. I want the blessing and the favor and the grace of God. Because I'm washed in the blood, I am worthy of the blessing of God, but not because of me, not because of anything I've done. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. You know, if anybody does say something bad about you, you have authority over that to condemn that. Well, I thought this was good preaching, but You're not reacting exactly the way I hope, but you did pretty good. God will keep us from oppression and fear. He says, they will gather together against you, but not by me. God's not on their side. He's why I got all these bad things going on. I don't know what I did wrong. You probably didn't do anything wrong. It's just the devil's organized these people against you, or these circumstances against you, or the diseases, sickness, whatever against you. And you got to take authority over it because it didn't come from God. You got to know it didn't come from God. If you think it come from God, you can't rebuke it. You've got to know where it comes from. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. You see, can we believe that no weapon, no disease, no sickness, no virus that the devil has formed against us who serve him can prosper? Can you believe that none of these things can prosper against you? They may come, but shut them down in the name of Jesus. He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. What's a pestilence? A plague. It's COVID-19. You know, and the devil, I'd guarantee you, the devil's got something else coming down the pike. You just wait, and you need to know, oh, we made it through COVID. Well, are you going to make it through the next thing? Yes, you got to believe that no pestilence, no matter what it is, no plague is going to take you out. And if it, you know, it, sometimes it's God's will for people to die. And everybody I prayed for was healed except one. I felt like God says, I'm taking him to heaven. And I can consider him to be one of my best friends. But I had to turn loose and let him go. COVID didn't kill him. God took him to heaven. Hello. Let's check and see if y'all still there. Lights are bright. This poor man, Psalm 34, verse 6. Well, this is some of the best scriptures in the Bible. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of some of his troubles. Oh, I was reading it like we live it. And saved us out of all his troubles. Is that too hard to believe? Up to now, Mike, with that business and all your different business adventures and all the things you've been doing, has the Lord ever delivered you out of any trouble? Oh, yeah. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Dottie saw an angel with his hand over my face when I had rosacea. And after that, the rosacea disappeared. And I've never had another case of it. And that was 2011. What is that, 13, 14 years ago? The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them from rosacea, from COVID, you know, from poverty, from demons and devils. And those who obey him have angels watching over them. Verse 9, O fear the Lord, ye his saints. In other words, be afraid to disobey him, intentionally disobey him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. If you live in a healthy, reverent fear of God, enough to obey him, it says, there is no want to them. In other words, he'll supply everything you need. I believe that. We started this church from zero, didn't have any way to really make a living, and God just provided. Dottie got a job, and she was going to try to help out, and I said, well, okay. And it turned out the child care cost more than she was making. No time we figured everything in. I said, just forget it. God called us here. You helped me pastor this church. And we know God, Dottie's a major part of this church. It's not just me. It's me and Dottie and you, all of us together that's doing this work. God's got his own plan. We're doing what God called us to do, and he's blessing the way he wants to bless. Can you say amen? And the fear of the Lord, verse 9, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. And from the very beginning, God supplied everything we need. So I don't worry about income for me and Dottie. It doesn't matter what's going on. I don't even give it a second thought. He fed us when we didn't have any way of being fed. And he fed the children of Israel when they had no way of being fed. And if there's no way for me to be fed, he's going to feed me again. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Write that down, Psalm 34. Just memorize the whole thing. At least all the scriptures in that chapter that speak to you. Psalm 34, can you remember that? Psalm 34. Yea. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord, seek the Lord. Sometimes we read it and miss the key word. The key word is seek the Lord. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. God just doesn't seem to hear me when I pray. This as he does. If you got sin in your life, ask him to forgive you, repent, and then pray. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cries. But we must cry out. We must pray. That's the way we'd say it. Pray. Get a hold of God. Talk to God. Pray through. The righteous cry. And y'all get anything out of this? The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Verse 17, special. And delivereth them out of all their troubles. And I can tell you, every fit I've had my whole life, somehow God has got me out of it. None of it has been able to take me down until right now. Amen. And like Mike said, it can be really hard sometimes, man. You feel like, man, I'm not going to make it this time. The devil's telling you, you're not going to make it this time. You made it last time. You're not going to make it this time. And you got to believe God, you're going to make it again. We will be delivered if we will cry out to the Lord. Pray to the Lord. God does not send trouble. But he delivers us from trouble. All Americans should be crying out to God for deliverance and protection right now, because this old country is in big trouble. Russia and China and North Korea and the communist nations, man, they're really coming together to take on America. And you don't need to worry. You need to pray and cry out to God. And God's going to save this mess. And that during these elections, we don't believe a bunch of lies. We hear from God and vote our heart, especially the school board, especially the mayor, especially the state legislatures and the governor. We get focused on the big guy. And a lot of our problems are coming from grassroots. School boards have become a big problem in this country. They're allowing men to play in girls' sports. And girls will be annihilated. They're losing their scholarships because crazy school boards are allowing transgender women. They're called. There's no such thing as transgender woman. If you have male parts, you're not transgender. If you have male parts, you're a male. I mean, read the biology book if you can't believe the preacher. Read the biology book. Has biology changed since 100 years since I was in school? I don't think biology ever changes, does it? It's science. All American, I'm not mad at transgender people, but I'm mad about what they're doing to them, cutting the body parts off and giving these hormones that's killing them. And people coming out of transgender say, stop it, don't do it. You can change the way a person looks, but you can't change their gender. All you're doing is destroying. Transgender people saying that, and they're being ignored. We're destroying young kids. But I love transgender, homosexuals, everybody. God's put a love in my heart for everybody. I treat everybody as good as I possibly can and defend them and fight for them. But I'm telling you right now, when people are doing things to harm other people, it's time somebody said, stop it. Take a school kid and put them on hormones and it's a proven fact. If they stay on hormones, it's going to shorten their life. What kind of therapy is that? There is therapy, counseling, and psychiatrists, and all kinds of things. They can be helped. Most of them just grow out of it on their own if you leave them alone. Ain't got time for that. But I'm just telling you, America's got big problems, and we got crazy people in politics that's promoting the stuff. Get to the polls and get rid of them. This is America. You still get to vote. All Americans should be crying out to God for deliverance and protection right now. How can he bless a nation that's cutting up their, taking little girls and giving them hysterectomies and cutting their breasts? How can God bless the people doing stuff like that? Psalm 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Don't emphasize that one, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. This says the Lord will deliver us out of all troubles and out of all our afflictions. However, these promises are conditional. We must fear Him, seek Him, and obey Him. Amen. We can't just go along to get along anymore. And Christians are going to have to start speaking the truth. Well, I could get fired. Well, God's got a better job. Well, I'm out of time. What do I do? Ignore the clock. Okay. Psalm 91, verse 1. Now you know this, or you should if you don't memorize. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's pretty close. You're right under the shadow of God. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. What do you say when you see trouble coming? The psalmist says, I'll say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my place of protection, my secret place. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Verse 3, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare or the trap of the fowler, the snare or the trap of the devil. Surely He shall deliver thee and from the noisome pestilence, COVID, the plague, and whatever plague the devil's got planned. He will rescue us and deliver us. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence, from the plague. The person that dwelleth in persistent prayer in the secret place, close to the heart of God, doing the word, praying and seeking the face of God and meditating the word and going to church, they can be delivered from the plague. Verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Wow! If we're dwelling close to the heart of God and dwelling in His shadow, staying close to Him, staying in church, staying prayed up, fasted up, churched up, read up, there shall no evil befall thee, neither any plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. If we dwell in His presence, we can claim these promises. No plague will come nigh us. Let's stand.